The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. I guess the first point of the homily could be unexpected ways, and I guess the opposite, expected ways. The opening line of the gospel was, "The people were filled with expectation," referring to that time when Jesus' public ministry began. People almost expected the Messiah to be on the scene soon. The prophecies of Daniel, which were only a couple hundred years back, but they were in the air. People were talking about this, all the signs starting to be aligned. And then you had John the Baptist and him challenging authority and the power that was being shown in his baptism of repentance. People flocking to him. The Pharisees taking notice. People started to, it was in the air. Wow, something's different. Something's changing. They had these expectations and they were filled with them. Even so, Christ came into this scene with great expectation, but was only welcomed by a few hearts, which is kind of a mystery, kind of a contradiction. Everybody wanted it. We want salvation. We want to be rid of the oppressing authority, in this case of the Romans. They are expecting the power of God to show up, but when it did, they were not willing to receive it. So you ask yourself, why? We run into that all the time, right? We want something so much, and then it's there, but we don't always choose it, right? Because it's sometimes what we expect and desire doesn't always happen, or we don't always achieve it in the way we expect. We want happiness, and Jesus starts to reveal, hey, that comes through the cross at times. I expect happiness, but I don't expect that path, right? We want great kids, right? But that comes through discipline and sometimes managing the rules, right? Kids want loving parents, you know, but sometimes that love is expressed in ways that you don't want or desire or expect, right? We want a free and peaceful and flourishing and respectful country, but sometimes that comes through a certain public sacrifice and adhering to certain rules and norms and values, right? We want a loving spouse. We expect that, right? But sometimes that love is expected in, or revealed in, expectations, demands, right? Sometimes having to love them the way Christ loved the church, right? So we expect great things, and it's good that we do, but it's also incumbent on us to then receive gratefully, joyfully, the path to the realization of those expectations. What's this have to do with baptism? Because the church, and God knows this, they invite us at the very beginning of our spiritual life, when we're just little kids, and remind the parents through the baptism, hey, you want this? You expect all these great things? The invitation, then, if you want that, this is the path to get there. And they ask us to make three promises at baptism, a little reminder of all of us. What are those three promises, including myself? And these promises guarantee, in a certain way, those expectations will be met. And it's actually fairly simple. But simple, and this is the second point, simple is not always easy. Actually, simple can be hard. It's simple to do our chores, right, kids? It's fairly simple. I remember when we used to fight over our chores. We all had ours assigned with the six siblings, and we would sometimes negotiate to switch our chores, right? Either they weren't convenient or we were tired of doing ours, empty out the dishwasher after dinner. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. And there could be great drama around something that actually, as an adult, you look at it and say, you could probably be done with that in 5 minutes, right? It's simple to do, but sometimes hard to realize. The three commitments that we made at baptism and our parents made on our behalf, because as loving parents, they knew this is the path to your happiness, was one, a rejection of sin, right? Rejection of sin, rejection of the devil, just rejection of all that's evil, and that apparently with the glitter will satisfy and give us what we expect, but then we discover, no, it's actually a deception. St. Paul kind of refers to that in the second reading. He said, the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us, training, that's a good verb, training us to train, to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age as we await this blessed hope. This blessed hope, what we expect, what we desire. It said we need to be trained to, you know what, reject sin. It's not the path. That's not your Savior. And you have to live temperately, justly, right, as you get there. So that's the first thing we promised. The second thing, we professed our faith. We promised to live by this faith. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in this church, which is the expression of God through time, communicates his grace to us. We believe that. And thus we accept the baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's very present in today's gospel, right? Jesus is there. God the Father speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit comes down on him like a dove. That's our faith. We believe in that. We profess that from the beginning. It's a simple proclamation, actually. What makes us Christian? We believe in the Trinity. We believe in his church. Is it easy? Not really, right? Those of us, it's often hard. Not 100 days, you know, 365 days a year, but there are days when it's more challenging, and there's lots of days when it's great. Just like anything in life. And then the third is a commitment to live the Christian life. We choose to live according to that faith. We learn to be trained. We want that. How many of us make great New Year's resolutions, right? Great expectations for the new year. I'm going to... And we start out with a lot of oomph and dedication, decision, right? Because we want it. And we know the good that will come from it. And then the day in and the day out, right? That we have to live according to that, I believe, I want. And that's sometimes a little challenging, right? And that's okay that it's challenging, because it's simple what we want, but sometimes hard to live it, right? The beautiful thing then is God says, I know that. And that's why I'm going to give you my grace. So I'm going to do it first. I'm going to be baptized first. Do I need to be baptized? No, but I want to model the way. So I'll do this rite of humility, of repentance, of expressing publicly, I believe. I will come to John the Baptist, right? He leads the way for us. And then he gives us his grace. So yes, I want those things that you want too, for you, says God. And I'm going to give them to you. So I ask you and I tell you, this is the path. You got to promise me you want it. Okay, I'm going to help you get there. That's what Jesus' commitment is to us. He's going to train us. He's going to help us. He's going to give us his grace to live what we profess. It's true that God often acts in unexpected ways, right? And he invites us to a very simple but sometimes hard path, right? And it starts with our baptism. We need to be humble and flexible to respond to the ways he appears and the path as it unfolds to respond to him, right? The devil wants us to think it's complicated, difficult, impossible, hard, way too hard. There's an easier way. You can get the same result, but a lot simple. Take this shortcut, right? And that's what we have rejected. In order to strengthen our souls, to be able to live what we promised, right? To be faithful and to kind of live a coherent, integral, kind of faithful heart and life, it's important to fortify with spiritual vitamins every day, our will, our mind, our heart, so that we can have a healthy soul, a strong soul, right? So that's able to overcome those resistance, those challenges through God's grace, renewing that grace on a daily basis. So I want to recommend just a quick bullet point of a few ways that we can take a daily spiritual vitamin, right? Strengthen our will, our hearts, our souls to live out these promises. Reading and studying the Bible, God's Word, 15, 20 minutes a day, spending time with God's Word, imbuing ourselves. How much time do we imbue ourselves with a lot of other truths throughout the day? It's important to directly say, God, I'm giving your word, your truth, your spirit. I want that. And I profess it. I promised it. And I'm going to give you time each day studying your word. Daily meditation, daily reflection, thinking through the situations of our lives, talking to Jesus, to God about them. And to allow the Word of God and our own dialogue with the Lord to transform the way we think, the way we act, right? To be more aligned with the gospel through daily Christian meditation. That's a daily spiritual vitamin that will strengthen our soul. Spending a few minutes at night examining our day, looking back over our choices and thoughts, words and actions throughout the day. And saying, what did they align? How did that go for me? Was it the way Christ would have wanted me to respond? And those little daily tweaks to our choices, to our decisions, to our ways of thinking and judging, acting, right? That's important, right? That's important. I have an executive coach once who always used to use this rule. It's understandable to have one talking about if you skip one of your diet days or your workout or you skip this action, you know, just don't let one become two. That was always the mantra. Just don't let one become two. We understand you're tempted. Okay, that's what confession is for. But just try not to have one defect to then become a pattern, right? It's that daily examine which helps us not let one become two. Reading regularly the lives of the saints, others who have lived this life, who've lived this baptismal commitment in great ways, right? Maybe daily prayer as a family, right? Around the meal table, right? Even helping the kids. Hey, how'd your day go? Helping them do a little bit of the examine of the day. That time together as a community. And we as a family want to live this way. So let's help each other through our traditions, our patterns, our activities as a family. Daily meal times is a great way to do that. Dropping by the church on our way to and fro. Stopping in to pray. Being in front of the Eucharist. All great ways, spiritual vitamins to kind of fortify our spiritual life, to live our baptism, those promises better. Very simple thing, kids, that our parents teach us and all of us, simple is keep your word, right? Keep your promises. If you promise it, do it, right? Very simple truth, but not easy to live. Jesus and the church invite us today in baptism, this day we focus on the baptism, to, hey, keep your promises. No, it's not easy, but it's good for you. That's the path to life and happiness. So today, we unite ourselves to Jesus in communion at this Mass. He comes down and says, hey, I'm going to help you achieve that. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to give you my grace so that you can be what you're called to be. Let's renew our promises to him, our desire to keep our word, so to speak. And specifically, let's also commit ourselves to living, taking some of those spiritual vitamins throughout this week. Amen.